the title of my preach today is Why Suffering? And I've really felt before praying, before preaching this, that I am actually just going to lead us in prayer over this topic. So if you just bow your heads. Lord God, I just pray as I preach on suffering, Lord God, nobody would feel that I'm belittling suffering. But I pray that you would change our hearts to show that the magnitude of you and your glory is far greater than our suffering that we go through. Lord God, I pray that your word would get through, that only what needs to be said will be said, Lord God. And I just pray that you guide my words in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, the topic is why suffering. So now I want to talk about this common theme in the Bible, suffering and trials. Now, there are a lot of aspects to suffering, and I'm not going to try to cover them all in this sermon. It's far too much for me to cover it all. But I am going to share with you one way that I have seen God using trials and suffering in my life, and how we can use those trials and suffering in your life to bless you. So suffering is a part of our Christian journey, and we can't shy away from it. Yet so many people avoid it. Topics like grace, blessings, forgiveness, all fantastic. And yeah, it's amazing. Like, let's praise Jesus for those things. Those are all good things. We need it. But suffering, and if we're really honest with ourselves, avoidance would be our preferred strategy for suffering. So today I want to attempt to tackle it. And today I'm not talking about the suffering that is self-caused. So I had a few too many brandy specials last night at the pub. I'm afraid that kind of suffering is on you if you're feeling a bit delicate this morning. So it's not suffering that we cause ourselves. And it's not the kind of suffering that you look for. Like, I'm not trying to tell us that we need to go out now and look for suffering in this preach. So it's not picking that unnecessary fight, but it's the suffering that you endure that comes to you in your walk of faith in Christ. So it's not generally looked for or expected, this suffering, but it is a suffering that you have to endure, and you have to, you need to deal with it. And I'm going to start with a piece of scripture that continues in our series of Acts. So suffering throughout the book of Acts is recurring. It's a recurring theme. And as I said, it's an unavoidable part of our walk of faith. In fact, all mankind will suffer regardless of their faith. But the difference with Christians, there is a purpose to our suffering. There's a reason for it. And as I said, there's one aspect of that purpose that I want to show us today. And I don't just want to talk about suffering and trials and the purpose of it, but I also want to speak a little bit about why we should embrace it, why we should actually celebrate suffering. Suffering and trials. So, I think too often we wish suffering away, you know, without asking, why is God allowing this? Because He does allow it. He doesn't cause it. He's not the cause of disease. That's sin. That's something else. But He does allow it. But why? And so often we avoid it. We just want to get through it. And when we just wish it away and rush through it, I'm afraid that we don't learn or change through that experience. We don't get to walk into something, and that's a shame. So I want to go into what does the Word of God say about suffering? And so let's start in the book of Acts, as I said, and just for context, what I'm going to read now, this happens after the chief priests and the Sanhedrin have ordered Peter and John not to speak or heal or talk or teach in the name of Jesus, which they had been doing. And it says here in Acts 5, verse 40-42, "And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. and every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. So if we're honest about this here, if we're perfectly honest, there's actually not really a good reason that they should celebrate if you look at it at face value. They shouldn't celebrate that beating. And I suppose they could have grumbled about the beating and still said nonetheless, well, I will still spread the gospel because I know it to be true. And us as modern Christians, we do that a lot. We complain about every little inconvenience in our life. But we know the gospel's true. We still spread it, but we complain at the same time. And that's something I want to tackle here. So they would have still said the gospel if they celebrated this or not, because it was God's plan to have the gospel spread. So the question is, why would these men celebrate that beating? So it's the equivalent of someone here being beaten for sharing something. There'd be hurt and heartbreak, remember? Because remember, these men that ordered them to be beaten, the Sanhedrin, the chief priest, only a couple of years earlier, they would have been the religious authority in these disciples' life. They were the uncontested religious authorities in the Jewish culture. So I can imagine if Barry said, Warren, you're getting beaten today, I don't think I'm going to be celebrating that. You know, it's not going to be easy for me. So why did Peter and John celebrate this? Because remember, it's only through faith in Christ that we... it's only through faith in Christ, not a beating, not persecution, that we get into heaven. Only through faith. So if we are now worthy, and if they were now worthy into heaven already, being worthy to suffer for the gospel, that should not be a major reason to celebrate. Should it? We'll see. So we really need to go back into the Bible to understand why these two disciples, Peter and John, who walked with Jesus, might have needed to face these trials. You guys with me? You following? Good stuff. So let us try to understand it in our own lives. Have you ever just felt like God won't use you? Not with what you did, how you let people down, how you let God down. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you feel like God just can't use you anymore because you failed too many times. I've felt like that. When you've just messed up too badly, your sin is just too big. You really did it this time. How can God ever use you? Best you just be a spectator in the church and let the faithful few do God's work. Or maybe just leave this church thing altogether and go out into the world again. This is often what we think. We are not good enough, not worthy to do this thing. I remember when I got baptized, it was incredible. So much hope, faith, excitement. You find those first moments of faith, you commit yourself to Jesus. You learn his teachings. You hear about this amazing power of God's word and the Holy Spirit. Only you have a mustard seed of faith, you can move mountains. How great is that? And you know, then we read about Jesus going to face his trials and temptations in the desert, in the wilderness, sorry. How he overcame the devil. I was like, awesome when I read that. Now I know what to expect. If the devil offers me anything, I will just say no. Just like Nancy Reagan taught us. If you don't know who Nancy Reagan is, I put that reference in for Amy if she listens to this preach. So, so Nancy Reagan talked about just saying no to drugs for you people that might need to know. I didn't listen to that, but anyway. So Amy, if you're listening in Texas, that's for you. So yeah, I was a bit naive and I thought, I got this right. Let me live out my flawless Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, I got baptized over a decade ago. And can I tell you how flawless my walk has been with God? Sorry, did I say flawless? Sorry, I mean flawed. I got it wrong. I must admit, I got it very wrong. So most of you here know a large part of my story. And I hate to admit it, but it was after I gave my life to God that I really made some of my worst mistakes. I fell. I lost the plot. When I walked in the wilderness to face my 40 days, much like the Israelites who were supposed to take a short journey across the desert from Egypt, that little journey ended up being so much longer. In my head, though, this is what I thought. I thought, through the baptism waters, all my sin is gone, supernatural strength, blessings upon blessings, and no trials and tribulations, because I am saved. But no. Not me. Like a dog to its own vomit, I returned to so many of my sins. To be honest, that to me is the prodigal son part of my story. You know, I'm saved, but then I ran away from God to try and continue my old way of life, because when I faced opposition and God didn't airlift me out those situations, I thought, but where are you, God? I'm supposed to be saved. I'm one of the good guys now. Yet I'm being kicked down, persecuted. No, Lord, this cannot be right. It's too hard for me, and I'm going back to drinking and drugs and wild living, because that is what I knew. I know how to live in that world. It's not perfect, but at least I can hide in that mess and not face this reality. I thought I trusted God, but my faith was shaken. I thought, I don't think I can do this. Have you ever faced a trial like that and so terribly failed? Maybe it wasn't drugs for you. Maybe you faced a trial and ignored God and tried to fix things in your own strength and in your own understanding, and it just caused harm to people or to yourself. And you just think, I can't do God's work. I'm so weak and pitiful. So why am I talking about my mistakes, and maybe for some of you, bringing up some of your worst moments and some of your worst failures and some of your worst mistakes, when I said if we suffer because of our own decisions, that's on us. That's our problem. Give me a chance. I'm building up to it. So just hold your horses. I'm going to get to why that is important. Now, as you think upon this, where you lacked faith or failed, one thing I want us to remember is, understand and accept is that suffering, trials, tribulations, these not only form part of the Christian story, but I'm afraid to share with some of you, we're actually called to it. We are called to suffer. So we are called to suffer for our faith. We tend to only find this out after saying yes to God. And I think it's a good thing we only find out about it later, because we hear salvation and are like, sign me up. Blessings, give me more of those. Suffering, wait, what? Sorry, what is that? I didn't sign up for this package. Yeah, read the fine print in the Bible. Where did that come from? Where does suffering come from? So Christianity is really upside down, isn't it? We celebrate suffering. We call to suffer for our gospel. He who is last will be first. Who is first will be last. Leaders are called to serve, not to be served. And there's scriptural reference for this, because we are called to face suffering. And I just want to give us an example from the Bible. So when the Lord spoke to Ananias about Saul, so Saul at this stage was persecuting Christians before he met Jesus, and Jesus converted him and he became Paul. He was a Jew that was persecuting Christians. And this is what it says in Acts 9 verse 16. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Gosh, that's quite rough. Eh? Reading that, I'm like, whoa, Paul got a really tough deal there. Jesus is saying very directly, he will show him how much he must suffer for the sake for his name. And remember at the stage, Paul has just met Jesus on the road to Damascus, on his way to persecute and kill Christians. So what is this about? Are we saying now, no, suffering is actually a punishment? So you guys are probably thinking at this stage, great, you are talking about how we failed God, that we are terrible at handling suffering, and now you're telling us that there is a call on our lives to suffer, so we now need to go ahead and suffer some more. This is a miserable preach. Sounds like Paul is just reaping what he sowed. So what does that say about me? And you might be thinking, well, if Paul's getting punished for suffering, you know, am I going to get punished now? What's next? But remember, there was a purpose to Paul's suffering. So he was called to suffering as well, and there was a purpose to it. And it wasn't God punishing him. God was showing Paul something through it. So where am I going with this? Let us go back into the Bible. Do you know this line? Peter, do you love me more than these? You guys know that? Do you recognize it? It's a great passage. But I'm going to go even further back to Luke 22, verses 33 to 34. Peter said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Jesus said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day until you deny three times that you know me. So what is Jesus saying there to Peter? He's saying here to Peter, you're going to let me down. You're going to mess up bad. You're going to deny knowing me. After all your bravado, ear chopping, saying you will die for me, when I'm facing my worst trial, you will deny even knowing me. You see where I'm going with this? And it wasn't just Peter. Peter might be the most famous for denying Jesus, but all the disciples left him. It says so in the Bible. It says in Matthew 26, verse 56. But all this has taken place that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples left him and fled. Sorry. So, you know, I can really emphasize with the disciples here. There's one stage of my life, I always thought, because they physically walked with Jesus, their denial, their fear, and their abandonment of Jesus was somehow worse than mine. But somewhere in my life, I realized, and I now realize, it really wasn't. I put my faith in Jesus. And it was great when he was flipping tables, winning arguments for me. I saw blessings were happening. Storms were being calmed. That was a great part of my faith walk. I thought I had faith down. Then came the trials and suffering that God brought me to. And then, hey, just like the Israelites grumbled in the desert saying Egypt was better. I was a slave, but I had food. It wasn't great, but I learned to handle it there. If I just did what I was told in Egypt, I could have maybe lasted there. But you know what, even when I lacked faith and didn't fully trust God, God's power was still on display. And I saw the plan for what it was. And then when I saw all that I missed out on because I didn't listen to God, yes, God still saved me, but if only I trusted him sooner, then I would have been known as a man of faith. I would have got that reward maybe, but I blew it. I had my chance to show God that I trusted him, and I blew it. And I can never do that over again. I can imagine Peter walked with Jesus. He genuinely loved him. He really loved Jesus more than anything, and he let him down. Who here has ever let down a friend? It's a terrible feeling. It's horrible. And, you know, not only is it a terrible feeling and it like causes hurt, but it also, there's a loss of trust. There's something that you just can't get back. You know, there's always something that just sticks with you. And it's hard to come back from that. Yet that is exactly what I and Peter and John, and I can take it all of us, have done to Jesus. We have let him down. So when we denied him or didn't trust him or tried to do things in our own way, that's what we did to Jesus. We essentially denied him. We didn't have our faith in him. But Jesus, our Savior, is gentle. And instead of holding that against us, he comes alongside us and gently restores us. Jesus is inviting you, me, John, Peter. He's inviting us again and again and again into the story. Look what he did now. So now it's time for you to hear the "Do you love me more than these" part of scripture, the nice part. So John 21, 15 to 17. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Now, Peter, who had denied knowing Jesus three times, Jesus comes to him after that, after he's risen again, and instead of punishing him or scolding him, says, Peter, you see, God had a plan all along. I had to go through that. I had to suffer. I had to die that you may be saved. And I think this must have brought Peter a lot of relief. I think it brought him a lot of relief that Jesus restored him. And, you know, because he said to Peter three times, do you love me more than these? Just like Peter denied him three times, now he gets to say, do you love me more than these three times? And it's kind of this picture of restoration. And at this time, all the disciples were restored to Jesus. They all fled, but he came to them all and showed them that he was the Messiah. And I think that's an incredible thing. And now their faith is strong because they've seen their Savior die, but they saw him get raised again. And I can imagine like the faith that they had built up inside. And they could see that what Jesus was saying all along was true. But I can also imagine them saying, okay, we know what he said was true, but we blew our chance to really show him. We really blew our chance to show Jesus that we trusted him, that we loved him. We still failed Jesus. I thank God that he forgave us, but I wish I could have had that opportunity just to show him that I love him again. Verse 40 to 42. And when they had called the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. When they left the presence of the council, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. As I said, you know what? I think when Jesus restored the disciples, they must have felt a lot of relief. Must have. Jesus forgave them. They were still saved. But I'm also sure they felt like failures. Not courageous enough to do God's work. That they let God down. They were lacking in faith. They were called and they failed. But you know what? They now know that the gospel is real. Jesus is the Messiah. So we're probably saying to themselves, well, we better still spread the gospel. We better still tell people and do what we can for the sake of salvation. Then suddenly, because they are teaching this gospel, and God starts using them to heal people and spread the good news, Christ crucified, died, and raised again on the third day. And I can only think that when they were persecuted for their faith, after being beaten, threatened with death and beatings, it must have dawned on them. We were shown the opportunity to try again, to stand up for Jesus, acknowledge we know him, boldly proclaim the truth. We were just given another chance, and we did it. We came through. We showed our faith. Jesus thought we were worthy to suffer for him. And he even had faith that this time we would stand up for him. So I can imagine that joy. And they're thinking, God is using us. The God of the universe is using us to reach his people. Oh, people, who here wants a second chance to show God that you love him? To show Jesus that you trust him? You weren't faithful enough last time. But you just want him to know that you love him. And not just through words, but through actions. God's giving us that chance. How many people here would like another chance? Anybody feeling they need another chance? I know I always do. I can't take back the times I feel that I let God down. But every time I go through a trial, and I go through suffering, and I stick it out, and I trust God, and God shows me something, I rejoice. Why? Because I know in my heart, God is not done with me. He is showing me something new. He is growing me, giving me another chance, helping me get it right, helping me grow and learn. And not only that, God is saying, I want to use you, but he's also saying, I count you worthy. Are you going through something tough at the moment? Are you suffering? I want you to know that God is not done with you. He is still busy with you. He still counts you worthy. He is busy with you. He is growing you, increasing your faith. Now, salvation, We know Jesus did that for us, and that's a free gift of Christ. If we just have faith in his name, and amen for that, we celebrate that every day. But going further, Jesus glorified, and the glory of what Christ did you know that we have an opportunity to share in it? And this is important for me because I want to share in Christ's suffering. If I'm called to it, I want to do it. Not because I want to be seen as a tough Christian who's not scared of anything. I don't care about that. If it was for image, take suffering away from me. Take trials away from me, because sufferings and trials are terrible. They are hard. They are difficult. They're terrible things to go through. But God has a purpose for everything. And the word says we get to share in Christ's glory. In Romans 8, 17 to 18, it says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. I consider the present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. You see, we all face things that you just say, God, why me? Why us? We can't take it anymore, God. No, suffering is not a pleasant experience. We are not celebrating suffering in and of itself. It pains me when I see people in our community suffering or friends going through something. It's not easy to watch someone else go through suffering either, or for yourself. But at the same time, I know that if you will just trust God, one day you will see his loving plan through it. What we are celebrating is God counting us worthy and letting us into his loving plan. He's not allowing us to suffer as punishment or because he is uncaring. No, our God is a God of love. If we just trust him in our trials, we would see beyond the pain and into eternity. God wants us not only to attain salvation, our free gift, but there is more for us. And the more we can trust God and suffer and go through trials with Christ, the more we can partake in Christ's glory. There is a bigger reward for us. So as I'm drawing to a close of this preach, I want to look at how we should approach trials, how we, and what some of these trials that we go through might be. So I think Andrew wouldn't be surprised right now, but I'm going to go to a favorite verse of mine, James. James 1, verses 2 to 4. And it says here in James, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So this is something I really want to emphasize here and take very seriously. Don't now, after this preach, go look for suffering. That is foolish. It says here in James, when you meet trials, in some translations it says when you fall into trials. So it's not that we should go pick a fight or go look for suffering. Suffering will come. Trust me, anybody that's walked around long enough, we know it comes. So we don't need to look for it. And it's normally just after we give our life to Jesus, we realize, yo, suffering comes quite quickly. But it comes to meet us. And it's these trials that God is using to grow us, to develop us, making us perfect in perfect and complete, it says in the book of James. So remember I said it's not self-inflicted trials. And you might be asking now, but what kind of trials might I be? Because it's not only beatings. We don't only get beaten for our faith. Suffering comes in a whole host of different ways. And 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10 gives us 5 examples of what these sufferings and trials just might be. It says here in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10, for the sake of Christ, then, I'm content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. So I'll read that again. Those are 5 different kinds of sufferings that you might, or trials you might face. So weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So let's talk about those 5. Have you got a weakness that you are ashamed of? You wouldn't even share with the people around you here. You probably think, oh, if people knew I had that weakness, they wouldn't let me be in this church. You know what? If you trust God with that, He can use it. That just might be the trial that you're facing right now. Take joy and ask God how He can use your weakness. Were you insulted for your faith? Great. God is using you. That just might be your trial. Are you going through hardship? Maybe with your health or finances. God is busy with you. God is wanting to show you something good. Look to His eternal purposes. This trial will pass, but have faith. There is an eternal glory at stake here. Are you being persecuted? Good. God counts you worthy of suffering for the gospel. Rejoice. Has there been a calamity in your life? Is things just going wrong? God will build your faith through that. Just trust Him. Have you recently faced one of these trials? Lacked faith and felt like you failed? Guess what? God can use you again. And God can give you another chance. Trinity Central. I got baptized. I got tested. I failed. I turned back to drugs and alcohol. And just like Peter denied knowing Jesus, I didn't put my full trust in Christ. But the day came when I finally was able to see God in my life. He redeemed me. He saved me from my mess, all of His might. If only I trusted Him sooner, I thought, I could have been a hero of the faith. So I guess it's just salvation. Don't expect anything else. God won't use me. But God then says, I will give you another chance. Paul was on his way to kill Christians, but God intervened. And when Paul got a revelation of Christ, suffering became a part of his life, and he embraced it. And for me and you, God has said to us, I know you can do it. Here is another chance. This struggle you're going through now, just trust me. I'm doing something. I know it's hard. I know it hurts, but I love you. And there is a plan in action here. If you will just trust me, there is a beautiful inheritance and a reward I want you to get. I want you to share in Christ's glory. This is why I rejoice in my suffering. Not because I can show man that I am faithful, but because God thinks I and you are worthy of one day sharing in Christ's glory. If we are only willing to share